Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're here to share some deeply disturbing things with you.
Dive into the vortex with us.
And happy 30th episode.
It's happy 30th. Cheers. L'chaim. Skol. It's exciting.
Yes, it is. It's a lot. I was going and looking through our list and we have so many podcasts now. 30,
it's cool.
Actually.
And yeah. I've been keeping up with our Excel spreadsheet in case we ever want to reference that if we forgot if we did a topic or not.
That's really good. Did you paint this room?
Yeah, but like not recently.
Oh, wow.
A couple months ago.
Okay.
Way to pay attention.
We know that I'm not very observant.
There, over on that wall,
yeah,
was a giant tree. Because this was my boys' room when they were little babies.
Aww.
It was a giant tree that I had painted when I was pregnant with my older son.
Aww.
And then my younger son, this was his room for years and years and years, and he's like 16 and wanted to get rid of like the baby stuff in here.
Mm-hmm.
So I cried and cried in my heart and agreed, because I get it. Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't want, like, puffy clouds on the ceiling and, like, a beautiful tree filled with birds and butterflies.
Aww.
In his room.
That sounds so cute, though.
But here's the shitty thing about it. The, like, literally 1 minute after the painting was done, he decided he was going to move over into that other room across the hall.
Oh, what a turd.
What a turd. Because we had moved his furniture temporarily over mm-hmm. there, and then he had had the experience of that room, which is actually bigger.
Ah, gotcha.
It's not a lot. It's like a couple feet bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Little turdmeister.
Turdmeister.
So, but that tree is still, I can still see it through the paint.
Aw, that's, you know,
I
kind of creepy, there. But good.
I took lots of pictures. I took probably about like 80 pictures of it right before it got painted over.
Aw. I would have just said, too bad. Deal with it.
Deal with the tree.
Uh-huh. So how are you? How's your week been?
Well, my weekend was pretty busy, actually, because I had to work, like, pretty much most of the weekend. Did a workshop on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
That turned out really well. It was, the theme was releasing vicarious trauma through art and yoga.
Ooh.
So there was yoga, and then I teamed up with this art therapist and we did a process painting thing.
Ooh.
Which is where you paint your feelings.
Ah,
and
so deep.
Yeah. So I made a thing.
Cool.
I made an art.
Do I get to see it?
Well, it's propped up on the wall in my kitchen. I'll show you later.
Cool.
I didn't awesome. Quite finish, but it has meaning to me, you know, and it's not about what it looks like with process art. It's like, getting
what
it out.
It represents.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's getting it out. So that was cool.
Very
How about
neat.
You?
Let's see. Actually, I did something that we talked about last week, which was allowing yourself, giving yourself permission to do nothing. So I spent a whole afternoon watching Vikings and playing video games for a whole afternoon. I didn't even, like, clean while I was watching it. I didn't, like, do things.
Did it feel delicious?
I was a little anxious at first, because I'm like, but I could be doing it now. I'm dealing with the consequences of my house is dirty, because I didn't clean this weekend.
Mm, yeah.
But, like, it felt good. It felt good. I'll take it.
I worked so hard on Saturday that I really just wanted to relax on Sunday, but I had to prep for my next workshop in 2 weeks because I won't have time next weekend because mm-hmm. I have yoga teacher training.
I did go and see my dad and helped him change a light bulb, and I helped him swap a TV into his bedroom and burn a pile of old bills from 2013.
So
huge pile.
That was productive.
So dusty. Yes. Yes.
Is he a hoarder?
No, it's more of a, like, once one's there, then the next one can go there, and then the next one for years. He exchanges them out every year, but there was some old ones.
Well, what did you say, 2013?
13 was one of them.
That's
2016,
like,
I think, yeah.
That's several years ago.
Several, yeah.
According to my math.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, and to be fair, those are things that keep showing up at his house. So he just puts them somewhere. It's not like he goes out and buys things. It shows up.
Yesterday was the last day of summer, though, so I did try to at least partake of that while I was working. Like, had the door open, was sitting by the door, and getting the fresh airs in.
I feel like I'm getting sick again.
Have you been doing your daily kombucha?
No.
That's why.
They're so expensive.
I know they are, but...
They're expensive.
Your health is worth it.
Is it?
Yes, your health is expensive.
Actually, it is.
The multigreen of the Synergy brand every day. It's life-changing.
I like the ginger one. Gingerberry.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I do mix it up with other flavors, but there's something special about that multigreen that the others don't have.
Multigreen?
Yeah, it's the green one.
Okay.
It's like you're drinking sludge.
You drink it every day.
I do, almost every day. Sometimes they have a different flavor, but mostly it's that.
You're very healthy.
I don't get sick that often. Sometimes I feel like I'm getting sick, but usually it goes away by the next day.
That's kind of what I can't tell. Like, am I not completely debilitated yet because I, like, surpassed it and I'm just coming out the other side and it was just a quick...
Like it was trying to get you, but it didn't?
Like, I can feel it in my lungs a little bit, but I don't feel sick. Maybe a little more tired. Or am I going to wake up tomorrow and have this, like, hit me like a Mack truck? I have no idea. We'll see.
Drink your kombucha tomorrow.
Okay, I will.
It's life elixir, I feel.
As long as you feel that way, it's good.
It's magical and transformative.
Good, good. Okay.
So last time, I was talking shit about the neighbors across the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I listened to the podcast, I felt really bad because I'm trying to build bridges. And then there I was tearing them down. So I want to apologize, neighbors who are not listening, I'm sure. But anyway, in case you are.
For the karma out there.
I said that they were like the worst people.
Oh, that's such an extremist thing to say.
And I don't even know them as people.
Oh,
but very so judgy. They are... pretty irresponsible dog owners, though. I'll stick to that part.
Like, I'm not against saying that someone's behaviors, like, I'm not against telling them their behaviors are wrong.
Yes, their dog owning behaviors are very inconsiterate and dangerous, yes. I would have to say.
Yeah.
Oh my god, did Lisa come up the stairs?
Yeah, she came up the stairs. I heard her little toenails.
Okay, you keep talking. I gotta go let her in.
Okay, okay, yeah, so...
That's a
barricader. No. Hi, puppy. So I don't really have anything else to say while you're up.
Talk about how cute Lucy is.
She's very cute.
Now she has to stay here, though, because she's a fall risk.
Okay. That's dangerous. That's
why we
related
don't
to my topic
here.
Today.
Fall risks?
Yes, it is, actually.
I can't believe we've been in 30 episodes. It's so cool.
I know. It's way more than I ever thought we'd get to. I thought I'd, like, at some point be like, I don't have time for this.
Which I was looking forward all day, actually, to podcasting.
Me too. I've literally blown off other things for podcast day. So to me, this is really, I thought it would be a chore, but it really has become self-care.
I find it very therapeutic, especially, like, when I listen to myself saying shit, and I'm like, fuck, and that was some bullshit, or, like, I should not have said that. Like, I think it's good.
Reflection tool.
Because I think everybody should just record themselves talking for an hour, and then just play it back, and see what you're saying, what you're putting out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's good. But what do you think about people who, like, record arguments?
Why would they do that?
Okay, so I'll just say that I've worked with somebody in the past who they would record arguments as a couple.
Oh, so you can, like, decipher it as a therapist?
Not for me. Like, I honestly don't. I
wouldn't
people,
listen to that.
Yeah, as I say, I tell people that same thing with, like, when parents record their kids being bad.
Yeah,
like,
I won't watch that. I refuse.
I've had people, like, pull out an iPad in front of me and their kid and be like, look what they did. And I'm like... please put that away.
Yeah, no.
I believe you. And that's all I came like, I believe you.
Yeah,
however,
way to make the kid hate therapy forever.
Helpful.
No.
You're literally wedging a knife between me and this child. Yeah, so anyways, I've already forgot, but...
argument recording.
Yeah.
That's weird. Do they record the person without them knowing it?
No, mutual.
So they're and, like, let's
but they,
hit
they
record
say,
and
they say it's
keep
like
arguing?
A reflection tool, like to listen to it later to be like, hey, yes, I was, you know, too angry. And because, like, apparently it's too tunnel vision in the moment for them, that after they can reflect on it better. And honestly, I just haven't felt like I have a real opinion about that.
Well, I mean, if it's helpful to them, I guess more power to you.
Yeah.
I would never do that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's very helpful, but
usually if I'm arguing, I'm not in my best shining moment anyway, because I think arguing is in general a big waste of time.
Yes.
So I don't want to capture that energy for all eternity.
Yeah. And to me, it's just like our Burn Your Journal episode. Like, it can be used against you. We are very willingly put everything out there with this podcast to be used against us. But, well.
Well. And you're welcome, people. Mm-hmm. Do we finally have somebody listening in Minnesota? I was thinking about that today. That's one of our spots on the map that
I'll pull it up.
Hasn't been filled in.
Did you get my message of the new places? Did I send that to you?
No.
I don't think I did, actually. I thought about it.
Well, thank you for thinking of sending me a message.
You're welcome.
That's almost the same as sending a message.
It is. It means I got partway there. Okay. I'm looking it up. All right. So, our stats. What is that noise?
That's Lusa. Oh,
she's snoring?
No, she likes to lick her wrists.
And then gets really intense about
it. She's like really in there. You should hear her eat food.
I don't think
it sounds like a zombie attack.
Okay, so between August and now, August 31st and now, we had 240 downloads in the U.S., 3 downloads in United Kingdom, 2 in Australia, 2 in Japan. That's a new one.
Ooh.
2 in Poland. That's new. 1 in Belgium, 1 in Germany, 1 in Hong Kong, 1 in Ireland, 1 in the Philippines, 1 in Turkey.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
But have we filled in Minnesota
okay,
on
right,
our map?
All right. I already forgot. See, this is why I think I'm like possibly getting sick, because my brain is having a hard time track. What am I looking for?
Minnesota.
Okay, so I'm going to look for, yes, 2 downloads. Minnesota since August.
Thank you, Minnesota.
Thank you.
That was one of our blank states.
That was one of our blanks.
Do we have any more blanks?
Okay, let me check for the last year. Just a different search thing. Yes, it's the ones that aren't filled in yet. That doesn't tell me.
Oh, yeah, that stupid thing doesn't tell you the name of the states that are blank.
What is that shape? What a failure U.S. history class was to me. Like,
I know
nothing about geography.
I have a good excuse, because I had it fifth period, which was after lunch in high school. And that was...
No, you have a bad excuse because you have a better memory than me. I don't even remember when I had it in high school.
Well, I remember because that was the class I was most likely to cut. Mm. It was after lunch because I just wasn't ready to go back.
Yeah.
And so I basically learned nothing.
So there's our map, though. It's filling in quite nicely.
Ooh. So we have 1, 2, 3, like 4, 5 states.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 states?
So if we were smart enough to know what the names of those states were, we would tell you guys to tell your friends that live in those states to listen to our podcast.
We would tell you that if we knew, but we don't.
Maybe
so we
could,
won't.
Maybe we could take a screenshot of it and post it and do like a SOS.
Like, SOS, save us. We don't know shit.
And if you know people that live in these shapes, tell them to listen to us.
If you know anybody that lives in these shapes, let us know.
Okay, you have to now.
Oh, gosh. I hate it when you say that, because then I have to, and I'll forget.
And then you'll listen to it, and then you'll remember.
Yeah, if I listen to it. So then it'll be on. It's like 50-50 if I listen to the podcast.
I listen to every podcast one time.
Like, after I, because, like, I posted on Friday, so my thought between the podcast is not about, oh, I'm excited for it to be released, it's, shit, I have to post the podcast. Then by the time I'm done, that's, like, you know, Saturday morning, I wake up, have a fresh day, and I'm like, oh, Monday, I have to go and record the new podcast. I don't have time to even think about reflecting on the podcast.
I reflect on it. I listen to it. I reflect on it.
And you become a better person.
I make important life changes from that self-awareness.
I'm just floating with the opposite, and I'm
this
okay
is like
with that
free therapy for myself. This podcast, I'm listening, I'm learning, I'm changing.
It's so exciting.
It is exciting. I want to take a picture of Lusa because she's all cute and alive still.
Who goes first today?
I do, motherfucker. Oh. Back off. Let me take a picture of Lusa first, though.
Maybe you should,
Lusa. Look at that funny way of shoelace.
Okay, now you have to post that picture because you're wasting everybody's time taking, like, back. Five pictures of your dog.
I have to get her at the right angle. It's just like people. She has better angles than others. I mean, look at her shape.
It's quite kind of you.
She looks sort of like normal when she's coming at you standing up, and then the second she lays down, everything just puddles out.
Puddles. Aww. Puddle pup.
And she also has a terrible sway back, so you can't even look at it from the side.
Speaking of your dog, my dad actually knew about the suicide dog bridge. He had heard about it before.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was his theory?
None.
He had no theory.
No, he just wanted to tell me he heard about it.
Well, good for him.
I'm not good at follow-up, all right? I didn't ask follow-up questions. I just went, oh, cool.
Oh.
Let me burn your bills, Dad.
It's so adorable how close you and your dad are.
We're pretty much the most cute.
It's so cute. Did you guys go to father-daughter dance together? Did you guys have
yes.
that?
Yes. I mean, I feel like if it existed, it happened.
They probably don't do that anymore because then kids without dads are sad, but...
Aw, kids without dads are sad.
Yeah, but back then, you know, people weren't as sensitive.
Yeah, yeah. I hope they can hear her making those noises in the background.
Do you see?
Yeah.
It's part of her neurosis. She likes to lick her wrists.
And, like, grunt. Abu does that when he chews on his toenails. He chews on his own toenails.
Oh.
I don't even have to clip them because he just chews.
We should mic her up just so people can hear how she's just going at it down there.
Go ahead
and
take your mic down there.
No, that's, I don't know how. I'm not confident enough in micage.
Oh, I reached out to, there's a podcast. So we had Jeremy on who shared a deeply disturbing story a long time ago.
Oh, about parasites.
All Fish Talk, that episode. And him and his band went on a new local Spokane podcast to, like, share about new things. So I read it and I'm like, oh, this is about, like, new people and things in Spokane. That's what they talk about.
Are we a new people and thing in Spokane?
So, you know, me, I stepped out of my comfort zone instantly without reading into anything and said, hey, we're Deeply Disturbing Things, the podcast. Here's our episode. If you're interested, we could do mutual interviews.
I love your initiative.
I did that. And then I got the most, like, let down message back, which was just, oh yeah, it's actually really focused on music. It doesn't sound like it'll be a good fit. I'll check out your podcast though.
Fuck. We could sing some nursery rhymes and shit.
Well, I'm thinking whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Why are you so focused? And
Broaden
your horizons, podcast people. What's the name of their podcast? You don't remember, do you?
No, it's pretty obvious why I should have not.
Is it called New Music Things in Spokane?
Sort of.
.com?
It's sort of like that. I'm going to look it up right now.
Thank you for your interest. No, thank you.
Thank you for your interest. Why don't you read our name better next time? So, okay, so their name is Who Are You? Podcast. Spokane. So I was we are Deeply Disturbing Things.
We are a something.
Okay, so let me tell you this awkward conversation. Hey, saw this from a friend of mine. If you're interested in interviewing another local podcast, let us know. Deeply Disturbing Things. Two counselors who drink wine and talk about deeply disturbing things. We would do mutual, where you could come on our show and share a deeply disturbing story. Check us out. And I sent a freeze-dried Fido sample.
Nice.
I said, we're located in Spokane, too. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Facebook, Podbean.
Oh, my God. We're so many places.
I'm sitting here like, this is the most I've ever, like, reached out publicly to somebody.
I like how you're hyping us.
Just saw you. And then my response is, just saw you focus on music. But no worries. Either way. Kudos.
I used to be in a band,
kudos,
Macy.
And welcome to the pod scene. I used to be in many bands. I don't know if that's
you used
well,
to
though.
Be in bands, and I like bands.
This is
so.
The response. Hi there. Thanks for reaching out! ! Yeah, the focus for the podcast is mostly with meeting local musicians and talking about music types. So I'm not sure if it'd be fitting interview to have you guys on. But I will definitely check you guys out and listen to your podcast. Have a good day. I said, cool, best of luck.
Ah, and then you're like dying inside a little bit.
Like, damn it. I did not read their description.
You know what they did, though? They used the sandwich method of feedback. Did you see that?
Yeah,
they
had positive, negative, positive. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're probably not even aware of it. Look how many Instagram followers we have. 371.
Holy cow, you're doing a good job with that, because I barely look at that.
That's a lot of followers in our book. Mm-hmm. I know it's not a lot of followers in the vast scheme of things, but for two gal pals from the can, it's like a lot of followers.
Vast schema is a disease.
Wait, what? Vast schema?
He said in the vast schema of things.
In the vast scheme of things.
Vast schema. Okay, cool. I'm ready to hear your topic. Let's
Are you?
Do this.
Are you sure you're ready?
Shit, I'm ready.
I'm going to talk to you tonight. I'm
ready. Talk to me.
About the poltergeist curse. It's here.
Is that from the Poltergeist?
Oh my god, do you not fucking know the Poltergeist movies?
Like, I know it.
I just feel like an ice pick just went into my heart right now a little bit. But I'll just soldier on, because that's what I do. I'm stoic as fuck. Have you seriously not watched the movies?
Am I representing everything bad in your life right now?
You are. Have you really not watched those movies? How have you not watched those movies? I'm not talking about the remake. I'm talking about the original one.
I know. Here's the deal.
One through three.
Is that every... I'll blame this on every guy I've ever dated has said that they do not like the Poltergeist. So when I'm like, let's watch it, because I actually do like
scary movies.
You know
what? That's why those relationships failed, because they did not like the Poltergeist movies. That's your new litmus test. You need to ask current boy if he likes the Poltergeist movies.
He doesn't like scary movies. He doesn't like being scared. But remember, like, he doesn't like being scared in general, not Poltergeist.
Okay, so that's okay.
Yeah.
He's not singling out Poltergeist as a bad movie. He's singling out a genre.
A genre, yeah, because of his personal feelings, which I'm going to allow him that. He can have those
feelings.
That's
so generous of you.
I know. I allowed it this one time. Go on. I've wanted to watch. I really have, and I've been turned down every time.
You could watch on your own.
I don't have time on my own.
What? Why not?
I'm busy.
Well, I think after this, though, maybe you need to watch at least the first one. I'm not saying you have to watch the others. Don't watch the fucking remake.
Everything that you've recommended that I watch or read, I have not done. Because I am either a horrible person, or B, no time, or C, combination of both, which is possible.
I've tried your recommendations.
I know you have. You're a very open and willing soul.
Oh my god, I am. Sometimes.
I do what works over and over and over again.
Well, have you even heard of the Poltergeist curse then?
No, I haven't.
Jesus Christ. I'm starting at square one.
I have to be like forced into things. Like, you need to invite me over. We need to have a slumber party. There has to be popcorn to entice me.
I'm pretty good at popcorn, actually.
I love popcorn.
I can make it in a paper bag in the microwave, and it's really good. Do you hear Lisa's toenails clicking?
Yes.
It's because her toenails are really long.
It reminds me of Sam.
She doesn't go for long walks anymore, and I'm scared to clip them.
Sam's nails are long, but yeah, it says that like when they get older, that long, the part that bleeds gets longer, so when you cut it, they'll bleed
I'm
all over
totally
the place.
Yeah, I'm totally scared. I don't want to like cause her pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you're getting distracted. Back over here.
I'm sorry. I just love Lisa so much. All right. So this curse, the fuel for the fire of this curse is because there were multiple deaths of cast members.
Really? The original crew?
Yeah. That were in the movie. So in total, four cast members died during and soon after the filming of the series.
What?
Two of these tragic deaths were highly unexpected and puzzling, which is why many fans speculate that the trilogy has a curse.
Do you mean it like gets cursed and that's why it fails miserably in the box office?
It was actually a big hit.
I have no idea.
Look at that.
No.
Look at Portugal.
I don't want to. Don't force me to do things I don't want to do.
I really liked the first movie a lot. So You don't even... You have to look it up, because you need to know who I'm fucking talking to.
She gets sucked into a TV, right?
Yeah, will you pull up her image?
All right.
Pull up Poltergeist.
Okay, I'm doing it. Because
you need to look at the face of who I'm talking about.
Will you get off my back?
So there's a little blonde girl.
Will you get off my back?
And here's another thing. That little blonde girl looked identical to my best friend, Tina.
Obviously related.
Same hair, same blue eyes, same cuteness.
I'm looking it up because Naomi gets what she wants. Images.
Well, I just want you to be with me on it.
I'm with you. I'm looking at this terrifying Children of Corn child.
So, Carolyn...
I have watched Children of Corn, and I've watched
that's
Birds.
That's a good movie.
And I've watched The Exorcist.
They're all good, right?
Yeah.
There's also A Curse of the Exorcist, so maybe that's a future topic. Carolyn Freeling, that is... So she's the young focal point of the series. Mm-hmm. She was played by Heather O'Rourke. She was 6 years old when the first Poltergeist film was released.
Do you say she looks like your sister?
No, my old best friend.
I was like, your sister does not have blonde hair.
No, my sister's...
They did a swapsie-ism.
Like, way more Asian looking than I am. No, I had an old best friend when I was little named Tina, and we had the same exact birthday. Like, all my friends in my whole life have had either my same exact birthday or within, like, 2 days.
You say that because we're, like, we're within a day.
I know. I'm just saying there. I don't understand any science behind Zodiac, but that has been true my entire life. And it's not like I ask people when their birthday is, you know, before I'm friends with them. That comes out later. So she was only 6 when the first Poltergeist film was released. What?
Sorry, keep going.
Why are you signaling me to hold on?
That was me trying to figure... There was some feedback.
Oh, I heard that.
From the cable. It was the cable. I had kicked it with my foot just like that.
Oh, I hear it now, too.
There we go. I stopped it. There's feedback, and I fixed it.
I have that in my car because I have this cassette adapter that I hook up to my phone so I can listen to music. And sometimes it has horrible, excruciatingly loud and scary feedback that comes out of the blue. Mm-hmm. And then I just have to, like, jerk the cord around.
Maybe it's a poltergeist.
And it fixes it.
Maybe you've been cursed.
Maybe I should just buy a different radio for my car.
The curse is around you, not your car.
So she was misdiagnosed with Crohn's disease in 1987.
Oh, there's a picture of E.T. up. Ah, that's like, I have nightmares. I'm sorry. That just happened. That's real life. Look, I look up Poltergeist and that comes up.
I love E.T.
I have nightmares about E.T. since I was a kid.
I'm always offended when people call E.T. the extra testicle. Because
I've never heard that, but that sounds
I love E.T. Just like I love Kermit. It's like kind of the same sort of thing.
Which, by the way, my dad said it was really cute, even though we sang horribly to the song last episode.
But he didn't remember the words, though.
He said that the... I didn't know the words, first of all.
Well, that's why we sang horribly, because we didn't have any confidence.
He said that it ended... with, like, it fading out, and he thought he missed something because it didn't play our normal thing at the end. So he went back and, like, tried to re-listen to see, like, did he, like, miss it? Like, what happened?
So he got to listen to our terrible singing over and over and over.
So my dad used to say, because he loves me so much, that I sounded like a wounded badger caught in a trap when I sing. That was all my childhood. I got to have that vote of confidence. That's why it's mostly you singing along.
I couldn't remember the words to that either. And, you know, when we were doing all the nursery rhymes, you had the lyrics queued up. I was just trying to pull from memory.
You did a great job from memory.
I think I had a solid B-.
You know, like, I'll give you a B out of courtesy. They're old.
Thank you. I know, and I haven't really tapped into that for, you know, a good 16 years, so I thought I did okay.
Good job.
So, back to Heather O'Rourke, who played Carol Ann. So she got misdiagnosed, and then the next year she got sick again. And then they said she had the flu, which was also wrong. A day later, she collapsed and suffered cardiac arrest.
She died?
Arrest. Yes. I mean,
the young child died?
You're jumping ahead a little, but yes, she did die. After being airlifted to a children's hospital in San Diego, Heather O'Rourke died during an operation because they found out she'd actually had a bowel obstruction, and so she died of sepsis. Yeah, it was
That's a congenital, really odd for like a child,
intestinal abnormality. So I think she was about 12 when she died. So I watched an interview that her mom did, and her mom was saying that she was very pissed off that the third one, the third Poltergeist was released, because she, her daughter died during it, and actually the final scenes are filmed by a body double.
That's creepy. That's weird.
And then if you watch three, which you probably won't since you haven't even watched one, but say you did watch three, you can see that her face is very puffy, and it's because she had this undiagnosed disease.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
And the mom said that she went and watched number three in the theater, and she heard people commenting that her daughter looked fat. And it just, like, hurt her to the core, because it's her daughter that just passed away.
And nobody knows.
Yeah, so you can imagine that.
Yeah.
I mean, that would suck. I mean, she does look really puffy, but now we know why. It's because her body wasn't processing all the toxins. So the second unexplained death was Dominique Dunn. She played the original older sister, Dana Freeling. And so in 1982, she separated from her partner, John Sweeney. In November of that year, he showed up at her house wanting her to take him back. So he was like begging and begging. And then
begging and bedding.
Begging and begging.
And when wished she was bedding.
He wished that. When she refused, he grabbed her neck and choked her until she was unconscious and left her to die in her driveway.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's super messed up because he wasn't, the court didn't charge him with murder. They said it wasn't premeditated enough, so it was manslaughter. And he was released after 3 years and 7 months in prison.
How is that not, like...
Oh, my God. My phone.
Your phone's going.
Well, we're going to not pay attention to that.
Okay.
Yeah, but can you imagine you kill somebody and you get 3 years and 7 months?
Sounds reasonable to me if it were me.
Are you trying to get away with murder, Macy?
Not yet.
So, pretty messed up, and she... you should look up her, Dominique Dunn. I think she has a really cool look about her.
Is that your pause for me to look something up?
Yes.
I've set a horrible precedence. I started looking things up a few episodes ago.
You're now our looker-upper.
I know, and you're using me, and I feel used. What's her last name?
D-U-N-N-E. I just want you to, because you haven't seen the movies. That's why you have to see their faces, because I'm familiar with their faces, and you're not.
Okay, I see her face.
Okay. I just want you to picture that.
Okay, picture her face. She was strangled?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. He choked her out and then left her in the driveway. And then after he got out of prison, he got a job as a chef. And then her family was, like, really, really upset that he was released so soon, obviously. So they made all these flyers at the restaurant where he got hired at. And that said, the food that you will eat tonight was cooked by the hands that murdered Dominique Dunn.
Yeah. So do you think it's because of, like, the era, like, the time that he, like, if this would have happened nowadays, do you think he would have only gotten 3 years? Because I don't.
Sadly, maybe still, because I still think people are serving sometimes ridiculously short and sometimes
ridiculously long.
Depending on the sentence. Yeah.
Depending on what's politically in favor at the time.
I think there's
apparently murder.
Too much subjectivity in it.
Murder.
But they said they couldn't establish the premeditation.
I can tell that mine's going to go great. My topic.
I'm glad.
See, this is why I think I'm getting sick, because things are easily impacting me.
Well, I'm here for you, and I got your back.
I don't.
So there was a couple other deaths, but they weren't, like, unpredictable or mysterious. So why was it cursed, do you think?
Why was it cursed, I thought?
Why do you think?
I think because this movie had some realm of reality wrapped in it, and these...
Oh my God, that's such a good guess.
Oh, good. Continue.
So the theory that is that it was cursed because in the infamous scene that you don't know about, where... Because, okay.
Is it when she puts her hand on the TV? Because I saw that picture.
Do you even know the story of Poltergeist?
There's a ghost that gets... Oh my God. Sucks people in through the TV.
Okay, there might be other people like you out there that are...
What do you mean other people like me?
That don't know the Poltergeist story. So let me just sum it up really
don't
quick.
Don't discriminate against me.
So this was in the 80s, and it's very topical because the 80s were when, like, it was the big live large era, and people, like, had money, and there was a big boom, and people were buying these, like, nice houses. They're new, like, big houses. So this was a California, like, brand new housing tract up on a hill, like, very desirable and whatnot. Like, really similar to shit that was going down in my town. But what happened was they had built these homes on Indian burial ground and had not removed the bodies. So they had built these houses atop actual burial sites that still had,
the same reason deceased people in the ground. You can't bury a dog in your yard because you may hit another one. Like, you can't.
No, I'm maxed out in my yard.
Yeah, you can't build on top of what is.
No more pets are being interned in my yard. I'm at the capacity.
If you need more space, my dad has 10 acres, and I will volunteer a splotch of it.
Thank you. That's very generous.
Yes. Not during winter time, it's hard to dig. But spring, summer, or fall, I'm there for you.
Thank you.
Late spring.
Okay. So there's a very small window of opportunity, I'm sensing, for burial time.
Unless you want to dig.
I think digging is hard.
Digging is hard. Dumpster's easier, but...
Digging's hard. You know the park over here?
Yes.
I tried to dig... My older son used to
this
love...
This is all rock here. How did you dig?
No, I didn't. No. But he used to... He has an August birthday, so he used to demand these really elaborate themed parties.
As he would, because he's an August birthday.
Yeah, and one summer he was super into pirates, and so me trying to be like super mom, wanted to bury a chest full of, like, toys and candy
in
the park.
You are super mom. That sounds cool.
And that was going to be, like, the end of this elaborate treasure map that they would follow around the neighborhood. But I took the treasure box over to the park, and I couldn't get more than, like, 2 inches of ground, because I'm sure I was, like, right on some basalt rock.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, I'll just hide this treasure box in this bush. In this neighborhood, but
so that's where all the pirates hide their treasure.
So the first clue was actually over in the park, and they immediately just all spotted it in the bush.
Aw, that's sad.
And all ran towards it. And I'm like, no, oh hell no! You guys are following all the fucking clues, and you're coming back here, and you're not getting any toys or candy until you do all that. Because I'd been out, like, the night before, like, hiding clues in, like, people's yards.
Okay, can I pause. Let's put your feelings aside here and state that you did not do a good job hiding this treasure chest. You didn't do a good job!
Have you seen this park? It's not a lush
it's
park.
Not. It's not.
There was, like, a scraggy old bush. I tried to hide this treasure box in.
You did a bad job.
I tried. I was over there though in my park with
a
shovel
to dig in
trying
a community
to dig
park.
Yes, I was. I did. I failed, but I did try.
So I did want to say something. So in previous episodes we talked about Walter, my dad's bulldog that passed away.
Oh, R.I.P. Walter.
Yeah. So I went to my dad's this weekend, So my dad, like, has this, like, little memorial in the center, like, his driveway is a circle, so it's in the center of his driveway, and he planted a rose
bush. Is Walter under that?
Yes. Oh. So he planted a rose bush, and this rose bush is still, like, blooming. It's been nonstop blooming constantly.
It's feeding off of Walter.
That sounds horrible.
No, it's the circle of life.
But it's, like, it's, because, honestly, like, my roses aren't blooming anymore at my house. But just these white roses are blooming on Walter's grave.
This brings so me to nice. Another disturbing topic.
Does it?
Have you heard that in Washington State, our state, human composting is now a thing?
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can choose to have your body made into compost that your loved ones can use to plant some rose bushes,
like,
or
whatnot.
And I'm
not really against that, honestly. To me, like, my body rotting in a box is going to take a really long time for it to do anything other than just rot in a box.
It's not cheap, though.
I bet. Any way to make money.
Yeah, but, you know,
somebody's,
I think it's
making
a viable
money
option.
After a dead body.
Because often people say, you know, I want to, like, grow flowers or grow a tree, but that's not really going to happen with traditional burials, but it can with human composting.
I'm just saying, my dad has a burn barrel. I know I can fit in it.
I think the human composting is, it's just like food composting. It's a lengthy process.
And it smells.
You probably have to do a lot of turning with the shovel, you know, as you do.
Hey, we had to do that with the bills because they were so compacted. We had to continuously turn them or else it would put the fire out.
Yeah.
I know this skill.
It's a very similar skill. I'm glad you're familiar.
Yes, I am. Thanks, Dad.
See how everything's connected?
Always.
Always.
All ways.
Why am I still fucking amazed by it? I should
every
just
time.
Accept that Close everything is connected.
So because I honestly feel like because I don't notice it in everyday life, I don't notice that until I come here and have the time to reflect it out with you.
That's why podcasting is life.
It's life.
Oh.
Podcast.
We're both holding our hearts. This is why we should film this and charge people a dollar.
Shikies, I was going to do that.
And then they can see what we're actually doing. They could have seen Lusa claw her way upstairs.
Poor girl. Yeah.
She's all worn out from licking her wrists.
Next time, we do have a YouTube. I don't post on it because I feel internally conflicted about its policies. And I don't disagree. I think it's a video platform. And people who post audio are misusing that platform. So we'll do that next time.
Oh my god. What's been really enjoyable about this format is that we don't have to care what we look like.
I know. It really, even though I come from my work clothes.
I know, I'm wearing my work clothes too, but
at
still.
At least like 90% of the time we are, so it's okay. But I think like,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
But still, it's end of the work day. Like, you know, I definitely don't look as cute as I looked when I walked out the door this morning.
The nice thing about being a Taurus is we'll stress about it, but ultimately we won't care enough to change.
And we'll probably rock it, actually.
Yes.
It's a bunch of worrying
did
for
you,
nothing.
Did you have more things to talk about?
I had
about?
One more thing.
Okay,
I was trying
I'm
sum
sorry.
Up the movie.
Sum up.
So you get the plot, right? So they built these houses on this
Indian burial
ground. But they had the bodies were still
I'm
there.
Sure there was a moment where like it was a creepy silent scene of like California and they played some like Indian burial music in the background. Like,
do you know who... the dude that Craig T. Nelson that played Coach. Do you even know what I'm talking about? No, never mind. So there was this old show that was really popular. Craig T. Nelson was the actor. It was called Coach, but he's
just
from Spokane.
Speaking a lot of gobbledygook.
He's from Spokane. So,
okay.
So just think.
Gobbledygook.
So he's the dad in the show. But there was a moment, you know, where it was the whole plot twist where he's like, "You forgot to remove the bodies," or something like that. That's not an exact quote.
Did they forget to remove the bodies, or did they?
Or you didn't? Yeah. So no,
the
developer like didn't just to cut costs. So the reason I'm summing this up is because there was
a businessman.
There's this part in the scene in the movie where the mom is going through some terrible horrors. And she gets dragged out to the mud pit that is going to be the pool, the family pool. So it's this muddy water. And she's in there, and then all the skeletons start popping up around her, and it's horrible. They used real skeletons for that scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I guess apparently it was cheaper back in the 80s
than... to get real bodies? Because
They would buy them from medical supply companies.
That's, like, really outdated.
Right. Now you can get, like, plastic stuff.
But
like, at that time, that was that goes... the more expensive option.
Okay. All right. Future topics.
No, what were you going to say? I'm interested.
Well, about, like, in the past when, like... grave diggers were a real thing, and they would dig people up and sell their bodies for things like this.
Right. Hopefully these
That's the skeletons extent of my knowledge.
Did not come from grave diggers. They said they bought them from a medical supply company.
Where does the medical supply company get them from? Well,
I'm assuming it's people that donated their bodies to science, or people that maybe passed away and did not have any relatives to claim them. I don't know. I'm disturbed by the whole thing.
I have an issue as an organ donor.
Yes.
I don't care about my body, but I want it to go back into helping somebody else. I don't want it to be the skeleton floating up out of the mud pit in the middle of a poltergeist movie.
You don't want it up to be a prop on a Hollywood set, right?
No,
it seems super disrespectful, and that's
really disrespectful.
That's where the idea of the curse comes from.
Putting it together.
These souls are so deeply disrespected.
So it's from the props that were used.
Yes.
Which were real.
Which are real. I mean, these are real. I would be fucking horrified if my relative's skeleton...
like, oh, there's Auntie May.
Yeah, was used as a goddamn prop in a Hollywood film. Like, that is
Grandma. Yeah.
No, you want...
that's awful.
You know, if your relatives are donating their body to science, you want it to be curing cancer or some shit.
Relates to my topic.
Oh, see the connections?
Are you ready?
Are we done being outraged about this?
Yes. Because I want you to be outraged about something else.
All right. I'm ready.
I hate being last. Being sick is awful. Because typically by this point, I'm like, I'm okay, but I'm a little
buzzed.
If
you're not first, you're last.
All right. Have you heard this sentiment before? Respect your elders.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Because old people have more life experience and you should try to learn from them.
Yes, exactly. So today, people are living much longer across the world, so people's perspective on aging is different. However, some cultures treat their elderly with more respect and dignity than others.
True. We're probably the worst.
So many cultures view age 65 as senior status or officially getting old. However, the connotation of what this means as a member of society is viewed differently depending on the society. So in America, there's a lot of younger people who perceive anyone with wrinkled skin or gray hair as old, and many elders report feeling ageism among societies in the workplace in the U.S. While many families and religions do honor and value their elders, America is one of the places around the world where seniors are not always given the respect they deserve.
Absolutely. You know, at yoga teacher training the weekend before this, I have a classmate
last weekend.
Is that what they call that?
The weekend before this was last.
The weekend before the weekend that was yesterday?
Was last weekend.
So Well, to me, that last weekend is the one that was yesterday, but...
wait, yesterday? Oh, you mean the one before last.
The one before the last one.
So 2 weekends ago.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I have a classmate that is Filipino, and in her culture, you do not put your parents in a nursing home. You take care of them. So there's definite cultural differences. Mm-hmm. And that came up because just like some personal shit going on with her family, and she thought maybe she was going to have to have a lifestyle change, mm-hmm. you know, very unexpectedly.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely right. So... in America, there is a transition that's happening about taking care of your elderly. There's a lot of culture shifts and a lot of senior homes, things like that, that are happening. However, there is still a baseline issue in America with how elderly are treated and often set aside. Like, you're old, you don't know what you're talking about, you're out of date, and they get put in senior homes.
It's so terrible. It really upsets me.
So I wanted to talk just briefly before I get into more stuff about comparison countries, because we are not really the norm. So in China, they respect the elderly, and it's actually part of the actual China law. Elderly parents in China can sue their grown children for both emotional and financial support.
Fuck yeah.
I know. I was like, yeah, that sounds like I birthed you.
That's like, right.
You owe me at least a minimum to not throw me into the whole home.
Like first third of your life taking care of your kids, and they should take care of you in the last third of your life.
Mm-hmm. And in China, companies also require to give workers time off to see their parents. Like, they view that relationship as really important.
God, we're so behind.
Right? Right. Ugh. Given the dense population of growingly elderly population in China, it really makes sense because it's, if they don't take care of the people, it puts their whole economy in danger as well. So it's economically wise. So China is projected to have 636 million people over the age of 50 by 2050, or nearly 49% of their population. Up from 25% in 2010. So their elderly population is continuing to grow. And although, yes, obligation is part of it, Chinese culture really does have respect for elders, and that is tied in with honor and kindness towards elderly
population. It's just family loyalty, which we just don't have here because we're...
A bunch of angsty millennials, angsty youth, angsty whatever generation, every generation.
Focus too much on independence.
And I think materialism plays a big part in that. We get very focused on material things instead of being connected with the people in our lives. Perhaps. In Japan, the Japanese culture values the elderly. Appreciation for elders has been ingrained in families and their children. So they really start from a young age teaching their children to appreciate elders. And actually, it's one of the best places to live if you're elderly. Like, as far as happiness ratings go, a lot of Japanese families have several generations living under one roof. And it's shown that elderly people in Japan live longer than any other population.
I would love that. If I had a bigger house, I would love to just have everybody living here.
That's what my mom wants. I know that. She wants everybody on the property, like little cottages.
And I kept my older son here as long as I could. I kept him an extra 2 years, so he didn't move out till he was 20. Mm-hmm. And then he moved back in.
Thanks, Mom.
For like another year. And I, you know, it's stressful, but at the same time, I was trying to like just be like grateful for that time. Every time I did his dirty dishes, like, at least we're a close family.
And isn't bitter at all. In Scotland.
Scotland.
Elderly people are viewed as an asset. Their voices are heard and they're supported to enjoy full and positive lives in both family settings as well as they even have a program called Reshaping Care for Older People that's really focused on helping them have full and meaningful lives. They actually have a pledge to hear the elderly, and the cultural thinking money has shifted away from hospitals and towards preventative care. So they're really trying to make it more of a, how can we help people have healthier lives? Because they've seen that benefit other cultures.
Are you going to talk about Native Americans?
Actually, yes, I will. Yay. In just a second. So Vietnam truly values the respect of your elders' sentiment. In fact, they're considered the carriers of the knowledge, tradition, and wisdom in the Vietnamese culture. So elderly grandparents live with their families for support and care, and they contribute to the household by preparing meals, caring for grandkids, so they actually have like a role within the home.
I think that's really important to be needed and feel useful, no matter how old you are.
To have like some purpose.
A purpose, in your life. Absolutely. Yes.
And so really in Vietnam, elders are considered the head of the family. Their advice is valued over anybody else.
Fuck yeah.
And in Vietnam, being old is considered an asset, not a liability. So it really shifts that perspective that really creates this harmonious culture.
And that's totally different than it is in the U.S.
Absolutely. Like when you have like what, Silicon Valley with like 20-year-olds making millions being like, F you young, you know, old people, you don't know anything.
And I think that too often we treat elders as a burden, whereas these other cultures see them as an asset, which is how it should be.
So some end-of-life practices that are different in cultures. So there's this concept of elder side. which typically happens in communities that are either nomadic or live in harsh climates with limited resources, which kind of makes sense in the fact that you want to spend resources on those that are going to live.
Wait, are the elders killing themselves, or are people killing the elders?
It's kind of a voluntary thing. The Chukchi of Siberia, they practice voluntary death. So this is when an old person requests to die at the hands of a close relative when they're no longer in good health. It's kind of a contribution to the society as a whole. And then many Native Americans in the U.S. and Norse tribes in Scandinavia follow similar practices to voluntarily choose to end their life, such as putting themselves in impossible situations, like setting up a, like, I'm going to go out to sea on a solo voyage by myself, or I'm going to put myself out in the middle of the woods by myself. So they have these kind of concepts. So it isn't really like the young people are deciding, I don't want you anymore. It's the old people saying that when I'm sick and I can't contribute, I'm going to sacrifice something for you.
And in the U.S., that would be illegal and they would be stopped against their will.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So there are some cultures that use spirituality to try to extend lives. So the Greek island of Licaria, probably butchered that, seems to have life-extending magic in its soil. Keep this in mind for your future, according to the New York Times. In fact, residents of the small Mediterranean island are four times more likely than their American counterparts to live to 90, and they live on average 8 to 10 years longer after being diagnosed with cancer or cardiovascular diseases. So this practice in Greek culture was not to rush through life, but instead savor every second. So they would spend every night, they would stay up late eating Kalamata olives, drinking mountain tea, swimming in the crystal clear water. They lived life to the fullest, and they lived longer.
That sounds amazing. I want to do that.
Right?
Kalamata olives.
So I wanted to give some cultural background a little bit before I dive in a little bit about our cultural background with nursing homes. Which is the typical placement of people who are elderly that their family decides they can't take care of them anymore.
Have you ever been to a nursing home?
Yeah, and actually every experience is really horrible. And I know this is probably pretty traumatic for my mom, but like both... So like my grandma was in a nursing home and she had dementia and she'd get very paranoid about the staff there. And like you didn't know what to believe or what not to believe.
They're depressing places.
Yeah, and for her, like, she, like, my grandma had acreage, and so my grandma had gardens. This is, like, she'd go out and she'd play music for her plants, because it would help them grow. Like, she cared so much, and then she's, like, in this little room, and...
We should be able to do more to allow people to die in their homes.
Yeah, it was hard, and I know it was really hard on my mom, so... Over 3.2 million adults living in nursing homes and other long-term facilities in the U.S. So there's 3.2 million people in the U.S. living in nursing homes. As many as 40% of all of those adults who enter nursing homes at some point in their lives, as many as 40% of the adults will enter a nursing home in the U.S. population.
I'm not going to a fucking 40%. Nursing home.
Many of these elders are well cared for, however, many are victims of abuse. Many. So elder abuse, particularly when it involves a patient in a residential care facility, can be difficult to detect. For every reported case of abuse, there's more than 5 cases that don't go reported. Nursing home abuse is a serious concern. So there's a 300... This fact blew my mind. There is... For seniors who've been abused in a nursing home, there's a 300% greater chance of them dying in 3 years following the abuse than those who don't live in a nursing home.
Oh, I believe that.
Abuse or neglect every year. Why do you think that is? Like, why in-home care
to somebody? Or they're so, you know, overworked that they just are burned out, you know?
Yeah, they don't care.
High caseload numbers. Just like our field. Same thing.
I know. Back when...
Same factors that lead to burnout in our field.
I did in-home care for people with, like, chronic mental health disabilities. And, like, chronic. And there were, you know, a very small portion of people that cared. And I saw that. The rest were there getting a paycheck because it didn't have educational requirements. And they would steal medications. They would steal property from people. They would treat people mean. Like, but they did it. And at the time, like, there's, you would think that the people that need the most help would get the best care, but honestly, it's opposite in the U.S. from my own experience.
God, we're so fucked up.
So
I'm angry.
There are some. There are plenty of residents who are well cared for. I do want to say that.
Yeah, but
those, abuse continues to the others.
I think, though, that those are the places, unfortunately, that cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of eyes on the situation.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's, unfortunately, a big difference between nursing homes, and it's usually based on money.
Exactly. So most believe that over 3/4 of the cases of nursing home abuse are perpetrated by caregivers. Like we were saying, it's mostly people who work there. So there's some signs, things
are easy, may say.
Okay. So obviously, like, there's a big list of signs your elderly person is experiencing abuse. But, like, I think that those are lists of things that anybody would experience or present with if they have experienced abuse. Like, a change in behavior. Probably. Or, like, an increase in symptoms. Probably. A mistrust. Probably. This is actually from a congressional report that showed an examination of nursing home records over a 2-year period that showed nearly 1 in 3 nursing homes were cited for violations that either had a potential to cause harm. And 10% of all nursing homes have violations that actually caused harm or serious injury or placed people in jeopardy of death.
Ugh.
And you think, like, this is where you're putting your trusted loved ones to be taken care of. So it showed that nursing home residents showed that up to 44% of them reported that they'd been abused at some time. 44%. And 95%
That's like almost half.
And 95% of
one
those
out of two
had seen other residents be abused.
And so that's going to traumatize them.
Mm-hmm.
And make them be fearful that's mm-hmm. going to happen to them. It's going to make them more upset.
Yeah. And it says that really it's hard to find the signs of abuse because our elderly people are often looked over and not taken for their word. It's easy to dismiss them and say it's due to their symptoms. So it's really hard.
Like if they have dementia or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah. So in this finding, they found that 70% of state surveys missed significant deficiencies and 15% missed notice of actual harm or immediate jeopardy. So even the ones that are getting reported are being missed. So nursing home abuse can involve things like physical abuse, pinching even, lack of physical care, use of restraints inappropriately, sexual abuse.
Yeah, I was wondering about the sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm. Or exploitation, psychological abuse can be yelling, criticizing, humiliating, shaming, and then financial exploitation, like stealing, because these people have access to a lot of information about these people.
Well, the elderly are really susceptible to, like, identity theft or financial scams to, like, take their money.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're hiring someone just out of high school, maybe, who does not want to work there and has no skills or very little training to work there. And here's a lady with dementia or someone who's nonverbal and they have a bunch of jewelry. Or they have financial paperwork with their personal information on it. Like, it just sets up bad situations. So I decided to look up some real examples of neglect that I pulled from, this is just one law firm, to give you an example of what these look like. Because it sounds, you know, it sounds bad, but it gets worse.
You got to get into the cases.
Until then, you have to talk because I have to go pee.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I don't know really what to say.
Do better.
Actually, if I lean a little to the right, I can see the apartment building where my grandmother and her sister, my great aunt, lived until they both passed away. And that was a purposeful move to move them from San Francisco near me so that they could help me and I could help them. And it was really a beautiful mutual relationship. And what I'm really happy about is that when my great aunt, who was adamantly hateful of what she called rest homes, that she did not have to go with one. She, in her own words, died with her boots on and was able to make her own decisions till the end. Hi, Missy.
Hello.
You're back.
I'm back.
Oh, settle in. Oh, yeah. My God. Are you okay?
All right. I'm much better now. Okay. So I went through, this is like a 3-page list of things that happened. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to put a circle for the ones that are like interesting and an exclamation point for the ones that are horrifying. And then by the end, I was like writing exclamation marks for almost
all. So they're all horrifying.
Almost all of them. Some of them are just deeply disturbing. So
I'm sad already.
Okay. So this one is about a resident in San Diego in an assisted living facility who specialized in memory care. And she was in generally good health. She walked well with a walker. And she was known for trying to leave the facility. And for some reason,
understandable,
she was left unsupervised. She wandered out the back and there was a stairwell that was unblocked. And she fell down those stairs. She fractured her arm, her hip, and her leg. She survived but required surgery and rehabilitation. The next one is a 76-year-old woman who was accepted by a boarding care facility with small bed sores on her bottom, or her coccyx, if you want to get technical, and her heel. Over the next 12 days, the skin ulcers worsened dramatically, but no competent medical care was provided. When the woman got a fever and was transferred to a nearby hospital, doctors were stunned. Her coccyx wound was so bad that it exposed her tailbone.
Oh my God.
Which was infected, and they had to dress the wound, and part of the tailbone
Where
had
was
to be
this
removed.
At?
This one doesn't say where. And part of the tailbone was removed. I think these are all in California. Yeah, San Diego. All
fucking
of these.
California, get it together.
And part of the tailbone was removed, and then her condition continued to deteriorate, and she died 3 months later.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. This one, a 76-year-old nursing home resident with late-stage Alzheimer's, but it's, how do you say it?
Isn't that how you say it?
I don't know. I got corrected earlier. And this person was non-communicative. She was punched in the face by a registered nurse.
What? You don't punch old people.
Who was frustrated by the resident. The resident, who was resisting care, suffered a large black eye, saw a dramatic decline in mental functioning after the battery.
See, and that speaks to the lack of training that staff should be able to handle their frustration without striking out physically.
And I do have to say, like, burnout is high in that field, and that is not taken care of. Like, you are stressed. You're dealing with situations you're underpaid.
Yeah.
And it's stressful all the time. Like, I remember that job. Like, to this day, I say I've continued to work myself out of the most stressful positions of my career, which is ridiculous. That I get paid more to be less stressed than I did. it's horrible. But, like, I never did any of these things, just to make that clear. But some people do. So this person had to have their whole leg amputated after a heel wound that went untreated. So it grew from 1.5 centimeters by 1.5 to 8 centimeters and became black. It like started rotting and got smelly before they actually took them to the hospital.
What the fuck?
It made me remember there was one day, this was a long time ago, because I was 18, and a resident had a wound on the back of, I can't remember if it was his or her, on the back of their leg. And I remember the morning staff member had noted it, but didn't do anything, but it was noted in our log. I'm like, why hasn't this person received medical care? Like, this is a mysterious wound that has shown up. And and she ended up having to go to the hospital for it. But it's something that's so easy. Like, if you don't know to be alarmed, you don't want it to happen on your shift.
And, like, maybe we shouldn't come down all the way hard on the staff because mm-hmm. I think the family has responsibility here too.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've always thought that the, you know, nursing home residents where their family was more involved mm-hmm. and more vocal maybe about concerns, like those residents would get better care. I mean, it shouldn't be that way, but I think it sometimes is if they're worried about being called out on shit.
It's like, true from what I've seen because of the whole time yeah. I worked there for 5 years. There was one resident ever in those 5 years that had a family that showed up regularly once a week, and she had money to buy things. She had good clothing, and they checked her records and made sure she attended her doctor's appointments. One person out of all the homes I worked in for 5 years.
Oh, that's so sad.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the population I worked with had mental health diagnosis. What is your dog licking off the floor?
She has anxiety and neurosis. She sometimes just licks things. She's just licking the floor, licking the wall.
Oh, this one is...
She might lick your feet. She's coming over at you.
This one's really horrible. So this one... Okay. So an 81-year-old resident of a subacute hospital died when her tracheostomy tube and her ventilator became dislodged. And she sounded several alarms in the hospital room. Discovery revealed that staff had lowered the hallway alarm to volume levels so low that no one could hear it. In addition, no nurse was at the nurse's station to see the light board alarm. The resident was found dead by her daughter nearly an hour after the tube was dislodged.
That's so sad.
Isn't it? It's horrible. These are like people's family members. This one is super horrifying. A 91-year-old resident was found dead in her room after... in an assisted living facility after becoming entrapped in her bed rail. She was suspended by the neck from the half-length bed rail on her bed. The staff at the facility were not adequately trained on the risks associated with bed rails, and especially from those who suffer from memory impairment like Alzheimer's or dementia. So it's something they weren't trained on, and they were using it, and her head got stuck, and she died. Yeah. So I'm not going to go through this whole bit. Look, you see my page of exclamation marks?
Holy fuck, that's a lot of exclamations.
And this is like one place in California, let alone any other law firm anywhere. So this one, I do want to cover
Lisa,
a couple.
Jesus Christ.
There was a 92-year-old man who was rushed.
Trying to claw her way out the door.
I saw that, yeah. She didn't like our topic.
There's stay up here.
A 92-year-old man who was rushed from a skilled nursing facility to a hospital where he was noted as suffering from malnutrition, dehydration, and severe muscle wasting. He was also noted as having live insects actively in his eyes and mouth, and he died less than a week later.
Oh, well, of course he did. You can't live like that.
Nope. So there was one where a dementia patient suffers from multiple falls. So she had fallen multiple times, had complained to staff about the falls. They ignored the concerns that she had and didn't take her to the hospital. And then finally, when her health was declining rapidly, she went to the hospital. She was diagnosed with a severely fractured hip, and she died 2 weeks later.
Oh.
So it's that putting it off and like not seeing
not
it as a potential
yeah.
concern that like a lot of these have to do. It's not like somebody...
Like, are they trying to save money, or do they think they're going to get in trouble, or what do you think this is about?
I mean, because I worked in a place like that, I don't think it was saving money. I don't think it was getting in trouble. I think it honestly had to do with, like, it's the bystander effect, in my opinion. Mm. It's, like, I don't think they're maliciously doing
anything.
Like,
they don't want to have to do the work, like the paperwork or something?
Yeah, I think it's like someone else will find it. Ugh. Or the next shift will see it, or it's not bad enough yet, and then it becomes bad enough, and it's on them, or it's on the next person.
I think workers need to treat all of these people like it's their own loved one, mm-hmm. and that might help.
Well, there was a developmentally disabled adult who was being abused by another resident, and he finally got punched in the stomach so hard he ended up dying from his injuries. But so have you ever worked in like in-home care Mm-mm. in that setting? So because moving them, no other resident home will take them. They don't want to, or they'll say just flat out say no, and the other option would be going to like an institution-based setting. So in someone's eyes, they may view that they're being kind by, like, we'll set stricter rules. We'll try to monitor more because we don't want this individual to get harmed. However, the one that's getting abused ends up, you know, dying because of it. And so I don't think, like, just because I've been there, I honestly don't think these are bad people. I either think these are too young and too
ill-equipped.
Or people who are willing to take advantage of people when it suits them. There are those people, because we had people who would steal medications from patients, and that directly, you're taking from somebody where they don't have meds that day and they need them.
I also think there are differences between different places.
Yes.
My step-grandmother, she loved her place, but it was very, very expensive. It was in Palo Alto, California.
If you can pay for it, they'll be super nice.
But I remember her
saying... I got paid minimum wage.
She calculated, and she's like, I have to die in 4 years because all my money will be gone by then paying for this place.
Wow.
And that's a terrifying concept.
Absolutely. Like, you're counting down based on how much money you have left.
Like, I have to die by this date because I will be out of money because I'm paying for this nice accommodations.
And I think that's why I saw some of the worst of the worst, is because a lot of the people didn't have family involved. And these are a lot of Medicaid, city paid people.
Yeah.
And they just don't get as good of care, unfortunately.
So sad.
So to me, it really brought up this idea of, like, how we treat our elderly. And what do you do with that? Because, like you said, I am very close with my dad. So I don't...
Oh, is that the connection?
I don't actually see him, like, me putting him in a nursing home. Like, I honestly don't feel like I would do that.
No.
Because I don't trust other people. Like, I know too much.
Yeah. Papa's dead, you're good. To assume
the best.
You're covered.
I know. Like, and he always jokes, like, oh, you're going to have to wipe my ass when I'm older. And I'm like, no, I'll pay someone to do that. But I may pay someone to do that, like, in my own home versus, like, in a care facility. And yes, cultures have changed, but it's really, I think, culture at large needs to change versus, like, kind of putting people in a compartment and, like, okay, we don't want to deal with you anymore, so you're over there.
Right. Well, I think in America we're so into, like, youth and, like, that's so valued that...
Absolutely. I think
if we put our old people away, like, maybe we can deny that that's ever going to happen to us.
It's going to happen to you.
Yeah. It is. Like, we, I'm going to be fucking 50 soon. Like, I'm facing it head on.
I can't wait to, like, just, like, be able to read a book in my underwear and have people leave me alone. Like, that's what I want, like, now as a young person. But there's, like, young people that, like, deny the fact that this is you one day. You can't deny it. It's going
to
happen.
I think it's definitely a cultural problem that we need to try to shift.
But a lot of that has to do with media and how they portray people. Like, you very rarely see elderly people portrayed in a positive
light. Latch on to those moments when it does happen,
because there are some
when I see, like, in a movie, like a badass, like, older lady, like, I'm like, fuck yeah, and, like, I'm super into that, and, like, Hollywood needs to realize, like, their money base,
we have so much more elderly population
than... maybe they need to rethink it. Like, we don't all want to see Megan Fox on the screen. We want to see that.
Did you know fucking
Helen Hunt and shit?
How much do you know about Megan Fox? I found surprising things out about that.
I don't know a lot.
Because she's kind of was like the annoying sex in Transformers. It's kind of the sex trophy in Transformers.
Yeah.
So I saw this, like,
Helen Mirren, not Helen Hunt. Sorry.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
Clarification.
Yeah.
So I saw this random article about Megan Fox, and I thought the same thing, like, annoying, like, sex kitten, like, purely that's what you are on the screen. So apparently she's, like, actually super opposite in real life. She was really, like, horrified to be, like, the director was very, like, pushed her to do the sexual type things for the show and said that that's what her requirement is to be casted. And so a lot of times he would say things to her like, you need to be sexy. You need to, like, she'd say,
is that why she was, like, pegged as difficult to direct.
Yes. So
interesting.
After that happened, though, she was actually pretty like ashamed about that whole thing, and then she disappeared. Like you saw, she's not in any of the other ones. Yeah. So she does like her own kind of philanthropy stuff outside of that because it was so against her personal character to be that role, and she was very sexually used as far as an objectified cast member.
Well, go Megan Fox.
Yeah, I was surprised because I had that same view of like, F you, Megan Fox, making us look bad. Yeah. She is very attractive. She's very attractive.
Yeah, but it was like unnecessarily
and that's
what, sexual in that film, I thought. Like, it didn't it do has anything to do with for
that
the plot.
Director. The director. Ew. Is the one that made that happen, which makes it gross.
That's so gross. Yeah.
Ew, in a children's like film. Like, come on. Transformers, people.
I felt uncomfortable because, yeah, like, when that came out, like, my younger son was younger and was like, oh, should we be watching this film together?
She's, like, really washing a car right now, like, puckering her lips and everything.
I know, and, like, all the abs, all the bronzy abs. It was, like, too much.
Too much, yeah. Sorry, random Megan Fox rant.
No, like, thank you for enlightening me about that.
I just felt like if I were Megan Fox, like, yeah, I probably would have taken that job at that point in my career, too. And, like, I admire what she did with that after. And I admire, like you can walk away from that and say, like, that's not me. Sorry.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. But she probably, you know, also has enough money to be able to
walk away.
Yeah, live for the rest of her life.
So. Probably, yes, yeah.
Not like us. We gotta hustle on the daily.
Well, until next time.
Respect your elders.